Welcome to Real Life. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, and you're listening to the Real Life LA podcast, coming to you from the San Gabriel Valley of sunny Southern California. We're a church for everyone, and we exist to lead people to Jesus, a community of grace with a God-sized vision that reaches from generation to generation. As you hear today's message, we pray that God speaks specifically to you and opens your heart and inspires you to live each day with more joy, beauty, and wonder. Hey, Real Life Church, God bless you. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are watching on the big day. God bless you. It's Pastor Jim. I'm glad to be with you again. We are continuing in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, this great and powerful and life-changing sermon of Jesus in which he calls us to live in an entirely different kingdom than the one into which we are born. Remember, I compared this to having two passports, a passport to the kingdom of earth and a passport to the kingdom of heaven. And at some point, you have to choose which one is your citizenship, to which one do you belong. Today, we're going to come to the first of two conclusions of the sermon. The Sermon on the Mount concludes, here's the end of the body of teachings about how to live. And then there's like a suffix that we'll get to next week about, now you have to make a decision about what you've just heard. But this is the conclusion of the whole of Jesus' teachings about what life in the kingdom looks like. Remember, he began with the Beatitudes. If this world has left you mourning and meek and thirsting for righteousness, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Come and join my kingdom. Your thirst for righteousness will be quenched. You'll be given a place of importance. You'll be given meaning and purpose in life. That's the invitation. And then he gets into life in the kingdom. You've been told don't murder. We're not even going to hold on to anger. You've been told don't commit adultery. We're not even going to lust after other people. You've been told love your neighbors. It's way more intense than that. We're going to love our enemies. We're going to live lives of giving and praying and fasting, and we're going to invite God's kingdom to come. And because of that, we don't have to worry about clothes and food and how this world will take care of us. We're not trusting this world anymore. We're trusting in the kingdom of heaven. And so that's what we've seen laid out for us. And then last week, he says, now don't judge other people. Part of letting go of the kingdom of this world is we're not going to hold other people up to standards that we don't want to be held up to. We're going to live entirely by God's grace and God's judgment and not our own. And so now he's going to round it out. Now we're coming to the end in which there's this final beautiful invitation to let Jesus and his kingdom in. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your kingdom. Thank you that it is so life-changing and otherworldly. Thank you that it is supernatural and better than what we would build for ourselves. Help us to let go of the kingdoms of this world and to take hold of your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, we're in Matthew chapter 7, at verse 7. Let's read, we're going to read it in three little sections here. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. There are two kinds of asking that Jesus invites us to do. One is spiritual and one is physical. The spiritual asking is the most important. Ask that God would reveal himself to you. Ask that God would enter your life and take control of your life and bless your life, and he will. He absolutely will. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. I had a friend who was an astronomer who was very skeptical, very irreligious, and at one point he prayed, God, if you're there, would you reveal yourself to me? And he is an astronomer by practice and trade. That was his education. That was his career. And so the stars are very important to him. And he said he remembered sitting in his bedroom and sitting on his bed and praying one day, God, if you're really there, would you reveal yourself to me? And he said at that point, the clouds broke and the sun came streaming and pouring through his window and illuminated the whole room. This is someone whose love language was the stars. And at the minute he asked for God to reveal himself, the star closest to our planet made a sudden break into his room, which is, I think, was God's way of answering his prayer. But listen, asking God to reveal himself to you is not a matter of guesswork. And it's not a matter of looking at every leaf that falls and saying, oh, maybe that's a sign from God. If you don't know God and you want to know God, you can absolutely ask God to reveal himself to you. Ask God to speak into your life and ask him to speak clearly. Say, God, I don't want to play guessing games with you. I need to hear from you. I want to know that you're there. But then be ready when God reveals himself to you. You've committed to submitting yourself to that God. You've invited him in with the purpose of following and obeying. And he says, if you ask, you will receive. If you knock, the door will be opened. And the spiritual kind of asking is the first and most important kind of asking we can do. I taught my kids from a young age to ask God to reveal himself, to ask God to speak into their lives. We used to teach our kids when they would pray at night before bed, and all parents ought to do this. Sit with your kids before they go to bed at night and teach them to pray, Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? And we would do this with our kids, and we would say, now, what do you hear Jesus saying? And often they would say things like, I hear Jesus saying that he loves me, and that's right. And we'd read the Bible with them so they could hear what Jesus had said, so they know his voice. And we'd teach them to pray and listen to Jesus. I remember one time there was a moment in my life where my wife and I were talking about making a donation of money of some kind. I don't even remember what it was to, but we're going back and forth on whether or not to do it and how much, because we were thinking about a large gift. And my daughter at the time was 3 years old. And I remember that because it was when we lived in an apartment here in California after we had just moved here. She was 3 years old. And I remember her sitting in her high chair and sitting at this, sitting at the, I guess it was a booster chair at the table. And it was at breakfast time. And we had not involved her in any conversations about money. She was too young for that. But I remember we said a prayer in the morning, and she said, I hear Jesus telling me that you should give the money. And we fell off our chairs because we hadn't told her that that was something we were talking about. And we didn't expect anything like that out of her mouth. But it's they're never too young to begin teaching kids to listen to God, to ask God to reveal himself and to speak to them. You're never too young for that. And every parent should teach their child to pray and to listen to God. I think parents do a great disservice to their children if they say, well, I don't want to teach them to pray. I'm going to wait until they're older and let them decide for themselves. Listen, the world is going to teach them all kinds of things that you wouldn't choose for them. And before they're old enough to make wise decisions, the world will be influencing them. So teach them to pray from a young age. One of my favorite letters of complaint that I've ever received in my life was from a family whose child came to our summer vacation Bible school. You know, it's coming up in July. It's a huge party for kids. Hundreds of kids come. They have a great time. They're water slides, and we study the Bible together and their crafts. They have a great time together. But one time, a child came to our vacation Bible school and that week decided to follow Jesus. We always give kids the opportunity to decide to follow Jesus. And a child went home and said, I decided to follow Jesus today. And their parents wrote a letter of complaint and said, our child is not old enough to make that decision. And this is a family that went to sort of a left-leaning church out in another nearby town, which just doesn't teach the gospel. And so they wrote a letter of complaint that their child had become a Christian. And I remember thinking to myself, we just sent home the only Christian in that family. We sent home the only one who actually wants to pray. They're never too young. And we should start from a young age inviting our kids to talk to Jesus and to ask Jesus to speak to them. And this act of spiritual asking, of spiritual knocking, of spiritual invitation of the kingdom is the most powerful means we have of introducing people to Jesus. Because if what we're trying to do is get them to talk to Jesus, what we've done is we've taken all the pressure off of ourselves of trying to convince someone that there are reasons to believe. It doesn't rest on us being argumentative or convincing or charming. It all rests on pointing them towards Jesus. All we're doing is holding up a map and saying, here's where the hospital is. I'm not the hospital. I'm not the doctor. It doesn't rest on me being competent and capable to convince someone that Jesus is the right way. It's just saying, here is the hospital at which I was healed. If you want that, go to this place. Go to Jesus. And that takes all the pressure off of me. If my message is, you should try asking and see if you don't receive. You should try seeking and see if you don't find. You should try knocking and see if the door isn't open. Because Jesus promises in the Sermon on the Mount that all those things will come true. Okay, so now he goes on, verse 9. That was the spiritual asking. He's going to get specifically to the physical asking now. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Though you are evil, because the biblical picture of humanity is that we have rebelled against God and against goodness, and we are a mess and it's a broken world. And yet, there's still a natural instinct that we have to know how to give good gifts. A good and healthy and loving parent knows how to give good gifts to their children and enjoys doing it. And so Jesus now plays on that. He's taught us in the Lord's Prayer in the Matthew chapter 6, give us this day our daily bread. He's taught us to pray that. And if we pray that, isn't God a better parent than we are? And if we know how to give bread to our kids, how much more will God give to us? He's told us, don't worry about food, don't worry about clothes. God knows what you need and God loves you and will take care of you. So trust him for all things. Now, note in this invitation to ask for whatever we need, it's not an invitation to ask for excessive luxury. It's not an invitation to be self-indulgent. If a child asks a parent for poison, the parent will not give the child poison. And if we ask God for just selfish, indulgent luxury, God may not give us what we ask for because it's not good for us. A soul that's bathed in luxury and self-indulgence will become an unhealthy soul. It is a poison to us. And a good and loving and healthy parent, a good and loving and healthy God, will not give us things that are bad for our soul. So in the book of James, it even says, now, sometimes you don't get what you ask because you're asking with selfish motives. And so God doesn't invite us to ask selfishly. And we also have to bear in mind that sometimes we pray for things that are actually good to pray for and we still don't get them. We can pray for the health of a loved one and they still pass. And that really does happen in this life. And that is part of the inexplicable mystery of God through which he invites us to trust him anyway. Doesn't mean we're going to get a one-for-one of everything we ask for, but it does mean that what we need, he will provide for us. And if we can ask for bread, he's a good, loving, and healthy father who can give us much more than what we asked. Remember when the Israelites had been traveling through the wilderness for 40 years, God rained bread down from the heavens and provided for them when they had nothing and there was no means for anything to provide for them. God literally could drop bread down from heaven. And there is nothing better for our souls than to realize that there is a good and loving and healthy parent above who cares for us and wants to provide for us. We don't have to worry about the world providing for us. We don't have to go get revenge and seek to get even with people because they stole from us, because God will take care of us. In the final passages before they enter into the promised land, after they've wandered away from slavery in Egypt through the wilderness, God's rained bread down from heaven and they enter into the promised land, God says, now don't forget, when you enter into a land that is not yours, and you inherit buildings that you did not build and vineyards that you did not plant, don't forget that it's the Lord who provided for you. And that's such a freeing experience. I can tell you myself that that's our experience at Real Life Church. We've inherited a building that we didn't build and didn't even pay for. It was given to us. And a preschool that we didn't have to start, to which 100 kids come and are touched by the love of Jesus every single week. I'm a father who has two kids that I do not deserve, in a good way. I mean, two kids I don't deserve in a good way. And I can tell you, at every step along the way, it's the Lord who brought us here. We didn't do this ourselves. God has been good to us beyond measure. And there's nothing more freeing than realizing that there's a good and loving and healthy parent up above who says, just ask and I'll give it to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. You know how to give good gifts to your kids and you're my kids. And I love better than you do. Just ask and let me take care of you. So there's a good kind of spiritual asking that Jesus invites us to and a good kind of physical asking, asking for physical things that Jesus invites us to. What Jesus is doing here in talking about a parent who can give good gifts to a child is he's drawing attention to the fact that there's an analogy between our spirituality and our biology. You and I are made as biological beings with hardware and wetware to function as biological organic entities in the world. But our biology is a living object lesson for us to say, this is what your spirituality is like. Your biology and your spirituality are intertwined. Because as a biological being, you're brought into the world as an absolutely dependent child who needs to be loved. And as you grow, you discover that you need to be able to give love to be a healthy person. It is innate. It is how you are designed. You are designed to be a child who seeks guidance and authority from a parent who is bigger than you, and then you can grow in knowledge and wisdom. That is how you are biologically designed, and it is absolutely a parallel to how you are spiritually designed. We are designed to come into the world as dependents, looking for guidance and authority, and discovering that in love we can grow in knowledge and wisdom. And then biologically, we ourselves are designed to be able to become parents, to be able to care for someone who is dependent, to love someone who can't give us anything back, to invest in another person that they might grow and learn to love and become mature adults themselves. I'm particularly concerned about the population decline in the developing nations around the world. It's happening in the United States of America and in most of the developing nations. People are not having enough children to replace the population, and the world population in most places is going down. And I'm not talking about people who want to get married but haven't, and I'm not talking about people who struggle with fertility issues, because that's a whole unique challenge through which God carries some of us. But right now, I'm speaking specifically to people who say, well, I don't want to have kids because I want more luxury for myself, and I want more time for myself, and I want more money for myself, and I don't want somebody else to depend on me. I don't want to have to care for someone else. And I know exactly what that's like, because I was one of you. When I was single, I didn't want to have kids. I thought that was going to be a lot of work. And what you do when you say that is you say, what I want is something that will fundamentally allow me to remain selfish. And that is a poison for your soul. I'm not talking about people who want to but can't or haven't been able to at this point. I'm talking about people who intentionally say, I don't want to have to care for someone else. That is a poison for your soul. And if you seek that out, if you seek out a selfish context, your soul will become more selfish. And that is not what you are designed for. You and I are made to parent, whether it's directly biologically to our own children or as we care for others, and especially the next generation as it comes up. You and I are designed to love people who need to be loved and guided and given direction. When I was newly married but still didn't have kids, I remember sitting down with a seminary professor, and saying, well, I feel like this, it's just going to take a lot out of me. I feel like if I took a piece of paper and wrote down everything I wanted to do in my life, everywhere I wanted to travel, everything I wanted to accomplish, all the, you know, freedom I wanted to have, financial independence, if I wrote all that down on a piece of paper, I feel like if I have kids, then I have to tear that sheet of paper in half and just throw half of it away, because I'm not going to get half of what I want if I have kids. They're going to take half of it. I'm not going to get half. And this wise professor looked at me and said, well, Jim, that's one way to think about it. Another way to think about it is that you take that piece of paper and you draw a picture of your heart, and you write inside the heart everything you love. And when you have kids, you get to draw the heart twice as big, because loving expands your heart. And the beauty of the church is, if we don't have kids of our own, we get to adopt a community in which we love others, in which people who have been around longer than us can mentor us and guide us, and we can help bring up the next generation in love and in wisdom. Jesus concludes in verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And this is the conclusion of everything he said since the part about in Matthew 5, you've been told do not murder. We have the introduction, which is the Beatitudes. You're invited to the kingdom. And now here's what the kingdom looks like. We're going to love one another. We're going to not hold on to anger. We're going to love our enemies. We're going to live lives of giving and fasting and prayer. We're not going to live lives of worry. Just ask God and let Him provide for you. That's the whole of it. And now he concludes all of that by saying, look, treat other people the way you would want to be treated. That's the summary. That's the main thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And this is called the Golden Rule because in the 3rd century, a Roman emperor named Alexander Severus had this teaching inscribed on his palace wall in gold. And so it became known as the Golden Rule. As far as we know, he himself never embraced Jesus. He just really liked this teaching. And so he cared enough about the teaching to write it out, but never embraced the teacher. Well, I'll tell you, if you want the promises of the Sermon on the Mount to come true, it all hangs on the teacher. The teaching themselves will not stand without the source. If a child at the mall runs and grabs the leg of the nearest adult thinking that it's their mom, and it turns out that it's not their mom, it's some other woman at the mall, they might be pointed in the right direction, but they're not going to get what they're looking for because everything hangs on it being the right mom. Well, everything hangs on it being the right parent, the right God. And if we want a life where we don't have to worry, where things are provided for us, where we live in a kingdom of love and grace, where we are forgiven at the core of our being and we are empowered to forgive, it all hangs on the teacher. It all hangs on Jesus Christ. And so if you want a place in the kingdom, it's not simply a matter of being nice to other people. It's a matter of placing our allegiance entirely in Jesus. Remember that all the good things that we have are from Him. We ask for what we need, and it is Jesus who provides for us. We seek what life should provide for us. We seek meaning and purpose, and it's Jesus who provides. And when we knock, it's Jesus who opens the door. So if you've never come to that place before where you've put your hope and your trust in Him, do that now as we pray. Jesus, thank you that you love us, and thank you that you called us out of the mess and brokenness of this world and into life with you. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to forgive the way you forgive. Teach us to stop worrying. Jesus, we stand at the door and knock and invite you in. Thank you that you love us enough to promise that when we ask, we'll receive. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go be the church.
Thanks for joining us today. Now, will you help us welcome others to real life? Share our podcast or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Real Life LA. If you'd like to become a supporter, please visit reallife.la and tap give to help us welcome everyone to real life. God bless and have a wonderful day.